Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Wise Men Say preview show, looking ahead to the Bolton Wanderers game on Saturday. My name is Tom Walsh and we're in the Port Street Beer House in Manchester, and I'm joined by Wise Men Say's three newest recruits. We've got Jim.
Hi.
Joe.
Hello.
And Matthew.
All right.
How is everyone?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks,
yeah. Excellent stuff. Well, we'll kick this off by looking back on the Rotherham game on Tuesday night. And before the game, Jack Ross came out very bullish in his press conference, of the suggestion that even though results were good, there were suggestions that the performances were not good. And in true Sunderland fashion, after this bullish comments, we went out and 1-1 the hell out of Rotherham. And are we seeing... are we seeing the same patterns from last season starting to repeat themselves?
Well, it feels very familiar, doesn't it? Not just the scoreline, but racing into a relatively early lead, but not being able to capitalise on the pressure that we then have. So it does feel very familiar. So we're sort of falling back on similar patterns. I think, I don't know if you've heard Jack Ross's comments this morning, but talking about expectations and the pressure and how he doesn't feel like we're under any more pressure than other teams, and I really don't think that's true. And I think it's reflected a lot in our performances, and the fact that we can do so well for half an hour, 35 minutes, maybe even a whole half if we're lucky. And then I think the pressure does get to the players, because they know that the long and short of it is we need to get promoted this season, and I don't think a lot of other clubs are under that sort of pressure.
Yeah, I think we're playing with sort of this constant weight, and you can see it sort of in the body language of the players on the pitch. You can see it Ross's body language on the touchline as well. Sometimes things go well, you know, we put some good moves together, we'll score some good goals, and then other times we really do just look like we haven't really got an idea of what we're supposed to be doing. So first of all, I've got no problem with him coming out and defending himself, because you'd expect a manager to do that. You'd want a manager to do that, really, but it's got to be backed up on the pitch, and as things stand, it hasn't been enough, and that's been borne out in the fact that the performances have sort of masked the results have masked some relatively average performances, and then when, you know, things get really, really tight, we haven't delivered. And if he's going to come out and be bullish, the players have to back him up on the pitch, and the body language and the performances and the suggestion to me that it's not quite happening right now.
We got told off during the week for being very negative on the other pods. That's a good start. But, as we said, we did have a very good opening 20 minutes and should have been... Well, we're 1-0 up within 30 seconds, thanks to... Oh, could we just take a moment for Ali Mozturk's assist?
Absolutely. I'm a huge Ozturk fan. He proved his worth yet again. That pass was Steven Gerrard-esque. And I think... Turkey are lucky to have a man like him, to be honest with you.
But like I said, the opening exchanges for that were perfectly fine, and it's just taken one moment where we could have blitzed them like we did with, I guess, Barnsley last season. And is it just when one chance goes awry are we seeing? Did the lads collapse? I mean, yeah. I didn't see the game. I've only
seen. We're too brittle. And it's not just Rotherham, it's happened repeatedly, even before Ross came in. I mean, it's been something to be honest, it's happened to Sunderland for time immemorial, the fact that ultimately we don't deal well with adversity. If things don't go our way, something will happen, and it just seems to, in the stands, on the pitch, and everywhere else, everything just seems to go. And McGeady missing that penalty was the perfect example of that, because ultimately before that happened we were all over them, and it wasn't just the McNulty goal. We'd clearly identified that was a position to attack, and we'd done it time and time again, and it was working, and we looked good. But all it took was that missed penalty, and all of a sudden it was like we were a different team, and everything got sapped out of all the energy, all the enthusiasm, all the, you know, the technical ability on the ball even seemed to go. You know, McGeady was up and down throughout the game anyway, but it wasn't just him. You know, people were putting passes together perfectly fine before that happened. Afterwards, it was like, you know, they couldn't find a man 5 yards away. And we were just dropping back, and it was inevitable that the equaliser would come. And that has to change, because you can't go through a league season playing in a way whereby if one thing goes against you, it's all gone. Because Barnsley, Luton last season, Ipswich this season, have things go against them and they react to it and they come back stronger, and we're just not doing that.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. And if I was also really quite surprised as well with how slow we started the second half, considering we were so much on top in the first 30 minutes, and then obviously the penalty miss, which changed the last 15 or so with Rotherham really coming back into the game. But I would have thought in that break that Ross would have maybe said something, and maybe he did. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what goes on inside the dressing room, but certainly the players didn't react to it. I'd have thought that we would have come out with a bit more of a fighting spirit in the second half, and it just seemed like nothing had changed. It seemed like there hadn't been a break from the last 15 minutes where Rotherham really piled on the pressure to then us in the second half coming out and almost surrendering immediately to them being in possession with the ball, them creating opportunities. And I know obviously McLaughlin made a couple of decent saves, but as Jim alluded to, the goal was always coming. It was clear as day that it was on the cards, and I think that Ross needs to address that if moving forward. I thought the substitutions were a bit odd. I know he started with the same team as he did at Burnley, which I wasn't necessarily disappointed with, because I thought we actually played quite well there. We had really good energy in the centre of the park.
His dubs like from the Accrington game. Grant Ledbetter was getting a bit stodgy. I was expecting someone like Dobson or Power to come back in, and it was nice to see Dobson be introduced. But you're saying that the drive kind of came out once with the penalty was missed.
Yeah, I think once the penalty was missed as well, and also after he got booked, he seemed to sort of go off the boil a little bit. I think McGeoch was carrying a little bit of a knock as well during the second half. I don't know. I know Ross has said that he's not willing to declare who's a bit of a doubt for Saturday, but I have a rough idea that McGeoch could probably be one of those players, because he seemed to be struggling a bit in the second half. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just the penalty that changed it all. And as has already been said, that shouldn't be the case. We can't go a game where one thing goes against us and we just collapse.
Well, to the credit, this season we have gone behind in pretty much every game apart from that Rotherham game, and we've dealt with that and we've come back from it. But you're saying this is a mentality thing, but it's clearly not. Maybe it's just this is just one off, or is it we seeping back into this?
I don't think it's a coincidence that the times when we play our best is when the pressure's off a little bit. Take the performance against Burnley, for example.
Yeah, true.
It's very rare these days that we're the underdogs, and we were in that game, and we played with a bit more freedom and came out of it with a really good result and a decent performance. Go back to last season, I think the fans generally gave Jack Ross a bit of grace towards the start of the season. We went into a really good run. That's when we did see us putting teams to the sword a little bit more, playing well, scoring goals. And I just think, it's, while I agree with these two guys, I think it's always going to be a bit of a struggle, because we've got League One players, and to try and find the sort of players who will not only just cope under that kind of weight of expectation, but actually thrive under that. Mm-hmm. They're virtually impossible to come by at this level. And I do think we've got one or two, but I think, like Jim says, it's so brittle and it's so fragile that it takes one catalyst, and whether that's a penalty missed, conceding a goal, getting a man sent off, and then it tends to all crumble. And I think we're always going to be fighting against that a little bit.
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room that was that penalty. Gooch has scored every penalty he's taken for us. McGeady is, we've only missed two penalties since 2011, and both of them have been Aidan McGeady. By the way, that was my stat that Richard robbed on Tuesday. Just want to clear that up. Should we just have a designated penalty taker? Should.
I thought we did. Yeah. It was Gooch.
Yeah.
And I've got a theory that McGeady might have pulled rank with him being captain.
Yeah.
And I do think that's a bit of an issue, because I don't think, while he's a great player and I would never not have him in the team, I wouldn't have him as captain, because I don't think he's got the right attributes. I think he can be quite selfish and can be quite greedy. And I reckon he probably just thought, well, I'm the captain, I'm going to take this. And to be fair, it's not like Conor McLaughlin taking the ball off Gooch and deciding where I'm going to rifle this in the top corner. I think that might have been a result of McGeady's captaincy.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree that, that we shouldn't have a designated penalty taker, but to play a little bit of devil's advocate, what if the designated penalty taker, so say if Aidan McGeady was the designated penalty taker or Lyndon Gooch was the designated penalty taker and Gooch didn't fancy it, but you're forcing someone then to take a penalty who isn't necessarily up to the task mentally or maybe physically, maybe he's carrying a bit of a knock. So at what point do you then say, no, I'm not going to take the penalty, or do you then set in stone Lyndon Gooch is our penalty taker no matter what?
Well, we've seen it, actually. It's been a big thing in the Premier League. We've seen it with Man United and Pogba and Rashford, like, arguing. Well, not specifically arguing. They had, a conversation, and Rashford was supposed to be the main penalty taker, and he said, oh, I don't fancy this one. And again, funnily enough, during the Chelsea game, Ross Barkley said he wanted to take the penalty. Willian said otherwise, and then goes and misses it. Is it just, I don't know, is it just one of these things that we just...
It needs to be their decision to make, though. I think, like, if you're the designated penalty taker, and I think Gooch should be, given the way that he is a very good penalty taker, he clearly is. If he doesn't want to take it, then he can delegate it to anybody else, that's fine. But if you're the designated taker, you either take it or you give it to somebody else, and it removes the doubt, because we're not going to be... If Gooch takes a penalty and he misses, and he's the designated taker, that he's missed the penalty. But if somebody else takes it off him when he wants to take it and then misses it, it creates that. It's another thing to talk about. It's the element of doubt that's brought in there, and the certainty needs to be there on the pitch, and you need to know ultimately what everybody's doing. And if there's a penalty, it should be, yes, I'm going to take it, or I don't fancy it, McGeady, you take it. But that's not what happened there. Gooch would have happily taken that penalty, and McGeady took it off him. And the issue is not so much that if he doesn't fancy it, he can give it to somebody else, but he didn't get the option to do it where he really should, because he is, I would say, our best penalty taker, therefore should be the designated penalty taker. And that's the way it needs to work.
And the point is, it's not just a case of he smashed it over the bar or the keeper's made a fantastic save. Yeah. He's Jeff Wheatley'd it. And you never...
He did what he did against Barnsley, but it didn't work effectively. Mm. Yes. And it is what McGeady does with his penalties, and some people do those run-ups, some people don't. It can work, it can't work. But if it doesn't work, as was said the other day, it makes you look like an idiot. So.
But are we getting to a point where... Are we in... Say McGeady scores that penalty, Charlie White scores his chance. I mean, that never happens, but we win that game comfortably. Would people be happy, or again, will we be still in this, you know, situation where it could be better? Or
I think people.
I don't think necessarily that it's a negative that people want better. I think people would probably be happier, obviously, if we won on Tuesday night. But I don't think it's necessarily a negative to, like, the Accrington people are very annoyed by the fact that people are annoyed, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. There's levels, don't get me wrong. I don't necessarily think Ross deserves the amount of abuse that he gets or anything like that, but I can see why people are frustrated, and I think they've got every right to vent their frustration. Ross even admitted today that the fans have got every right to to be frustrated if his side don't perform well, or the words he used, if they get beat, which I think was a little bit of a dig at some of the reaction to the 3-1 win. But
do you reckon he listened?
Maybe.
Probably did, yeah.
I hope not.
You're now banned.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the thing with Jack Ross? Do you think he's in like a really unique situation as a manager? I can't find a team in all the leagues that has this unique pressure on him. He's managing a team that's had a lot of change. I know we can't really hark on about that anymore because it's a different team. Mm. But you have to win. You have to win well.
Yeah.
And if you draw or you lose, your job is being questioned.
This is what I mean. I think some of the lads might have said it in the reaction podcast on Tuesday night. We are only a game away from a crisis point, and sometimes you see it at half time. If you look at social media, particularly if we're losing, or if we're just not playing well. And this is what I mean. I think it is quite a unique case. I think we're always going to struggle a little bit with that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I feel like the pressure we're under, the only other type of club that would have this type of pressure would be either somebody who'd been relegated out of the Football League to the Conference, like Notts County or whoever, or somebody going for the top of the Premier League, whereby realistically the mentality of the fan base is that we're better than everybody, rightly or wrongly. It doesn't really matter whether that is right or wrong, because the mentality is always going to be there. So if you're Man City, Liverpool, or if you're like Notts County, it's the difference in quality from what the fans are used to versus what they're seeing, or the ultimate pressure of winning the biggest thing you can possibly win. And that carries with it pressure. So he hasn't got an easy job. And, you know, at the end of the day, he is right to defend himself, but the problem's going to be that he might not be up to the task. And whether he is or whether he isn't, the fans' opinions matter, because at the end of the day, as soon as he starts to, you know, discounting that, then, you know, problems start. Rightly or wrongly, that is what happens. So he has to deal with it.
The only comparison I can actually think of to Ross's situation, and before I say this, I'm by no means comparing the two, is Mourinho at United, okay. Where... okay, they weren't winning the league, and they weren't maybe performing as well as they had done in previous years, but they weren't doing badly. I mean, they won, what was it, 3 trophies in one season? But yet every week he was getting hounded by the media, by his fans, by everyone like that. And like I said, I'm not comparing Jack Ross to Jose Mourinho.
You hit it here first.
But yeah, that's the only kind of comparison that I can see. And obviously we all know how that ended. And as much as I like Ross, I can't see it ending any other way than with
Champions
the fans.
League glory.
Than with the fans, or with the vocal set of fans essentially getting what they want.
Do you think it's made worse by the fact that we've fallen through the league so quickly?
Yeah, 100%.
The fan base haven't had a chance to adjust. Yeah, it's not like we dropped down the Championship, we're there for a few seasons, got relegated again. It's like within 2 seasons we've gone from a Premier League club to this. And it's a massive culture shock for everybody.
I think, like, Adrian Clarke was on Quest after the Peterborough game, where I think Sunderland Twitter just like went nuclear meltdown. And he said they've won, at the time it was 5 games in a row, and he said they're going to be okay. He still, he said they'll still probably get promoted, and the fans just need to take a breath.
Yeah.
And that's someone on the outside looking in. And do you think he's got a point?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think that, especially it being in his position, it's easier to say. But I don't necessarily think that our expectation level does help. In a, you know, it's not going to go away. And I'm not saying people shouldn't have those opinions. That's fine. But that also doesn't make it a positive thing for the team. Because he's right. We probably will still go. We'll certainly be there or thereabouts. Because ultimately we have the best, if not one of the best squads in the league. Jack Ross as a manager, I think, probably would get a job at any other club in this league, bar potentially Ipswich. Money, everything else, takeover coming, all stuff like that. You know, it's hard to take a breath, especially when you, like Matt was saying, when you're used to having so much better. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take a breath, and we shouldn't maybe have a little bit of self-analysis to think, actually, is this the best course of action to take for us as a fan base to be so highly strung? Because it does get wearing when you're doing it. We've all done it, we all do it, and it is stressful. Like, you want to enjoy the football that you go and see, even if it is in League One, and we're all guilty of it, but sometimes it is better to take a step back and think, actually, look at the table. Are we actually doing that badly, or are we overreacting based on what we expect to happen?
I think you're right. But with regards to the taking a breath, do you think it might have something to do with the amount of games that we actually play? So you don't actually get that chance to take a breath. You don't. You're playing Saturday, Tuesday. We're playing 46 games in the league. We're in the Chequered Trade Trophy, which we got through at the final last year. We're still in the League Cup. You know,
five competitions. It's a nightmare, isn't it?
When do we get in the
League One
EFL trophy? Or do we have to go?
So I don't necessarily think that you actually get the chance to take a breath. I think you're right in what you say, that we are really high strung, but I think it's just because it's so intense. Like, being in this division is so intense.
I mean, I'm the same. I'm just saying.
As
a collective, it could be something that we should maybe look at trying to just bring it back a bit, you know. I mean, it's easier said than done, because I'm going to be screaming with everybody else at Bolton if we concede a Bolton. I'm going to be jumping on the pitch,
but
you know, at the same time, we should all try.
This conversation is proving something to me, and that's that League One is just a nightmare. It's a nightmare that we just need to wake
it's
up
not
from
easy
as quickly as possible. And I couldn't care less really about performances. And I don't know whether we're going to get on to this about goals scored and all that kind of stuff. We just need to win the amount of points we need to get out of this league this
100,
season.
100 points.
That's a good.
Well, yeah. And
will get us out of the league.
Talking about expectations, I mean, that just adds another layer onto that. What are already high expectations? We don't need it. We don't need it. We just need the points.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't want to go through the playoffs, but I don't care if we finish second.
Yeah.
We just need to get out of this league, get into the championship, and try and figure things out from there.
It's a very good point. It's like when we were in the glory days of 15th in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, was that more enjoyable? I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe
the thing is, you'd play a game, and then you'd get it out of your system, like on the Sunday, the Monday, and then you wouldn't have a game until Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Now, it's like, because I have to write the away guides for, and I've realised,
very good, by the way. Rival site, but very good.
We're all friends. But I realise, it's like, oh, we've got a game on Tuesday, and then we've got another one on Saturday, and then we're playing Grimsby in the cup, and it's like, just
you don't get a break,
so
dude.
Many.
It's it is bad for your mental health at times, I think.
And your wallet.
And your wallet, yeah.
But it is. You're right though, because obviously we played Accrington on Saturday, we played Rotherham on Tuesday, we're Bolton away on Saturday, and if I'm right in thinking, we've got Sheffield United away in the cup on Tuesday, and then another Saturday game, and then I think it's the EFL or whatever it's called, the van rent.
Basically,
company.
A midweek game every week till Christmas.
But let's move on to that Bolton game. Obviously, rising from the ashes, Bolton Wanderers, from playing children to playing Daryl Murphy and Liam Bridcutt. everybody thinks we're going to lose this somehow for some reason. It's written in the...
It is the Sunderland way.
But they're on minus 10 after all their shenanigans in the summer. They've scored one goal by a fella called The Linden on loan from Stoke City.
That's pretty good, to be fair.
And they've conceded 23 goals. I mean, there's a bit of an asterisk there because they did have to play their youth team and they got numerous spankings and then another spanking, but they drew 0-0 at home to Oxford United on Tuesday. And what are we thinking? I mean, are we going to see an actual fullback since Joel Lynch and Lawrence de Bock could be fit? So are we going to see an actual fullback playing in an actual fullback position?
I think he said today they're not going to play a Bolton.
Tremendous.
Well, you know, why change the winning formula, right? But I think they're going to be in the squad for Sheffield United again, but they're not going to play Bolton.
So what are we expecting from Bolton? Is it, do we have to smash them? Do we just squeak a 1-0?
Just win for me.
I think I know we all go on about statement results and things like that, and we haven't necessarily had one probably since the early part of last season. And I know that the Bolton were playing a very different to the Bolton that Ipswich played earlier on in the season, for example. But I think it's not even about a statement result to the rest of the league. I think it's a good opportunity for us to galvanise the fan base, the squad, give players like Will Grigg, of course he has to get mentioned.
Yeah, he needs to start.
Give him minutes on the pitch. Maybe look at a different option to Wyke. Although I know he has good things about him. Don't look at me like that.
He does
a job in certain games. I don't think Bolton is that game. I think you're looking at the players like McNulty, like Grigg, like Maguire, like McGeady, who can create a spark, who can move the ball quickly along the floor. Because these players that they brought in are League One, well, either League One veterans or newbies or in a bit of the mix.
And still very experienced.
Yes,
side,
exactly. Yeah. And you want to be quick and you want to play it along the floor because we did it on Tuesday night a lot, which was baffling to me because we'd had McNulty, who had got in behind a couple of times, and then we took him off, and instead of bringing someone on like a Grigg, who is a similar kind of player who gets in behind, we brought on Wyke, who sits in front of the defence and brings the ball down, and we had backs to the wall. Defensively, so he had no support. So anyway, I'm going off.
Yeah, but Wyke's funny, apparently. Just you wait when 4,000 Sunderland fans are at Bolton singing that "Si Señor" chant as he headers the ball into nowhere.
Yeah,
it's funny, isn't it?
It is weird. I wonder though, in all seriousness, if. And I thought this at the time against Rotherham. Did maybe? I mean, I'm not saying it was a good substitution. Obviously, it wasn't. But was part of it not on a defensive side for Wyke to maybe win some heads? Not that he did that, but he potentially could have done that. Give the added height because they had some big lads. I don't know. Maybe
they absolutely did. But the thing is, I mean, their threats weren't coming from set pieces, which is where Wyke plays a factor. And I can understand that you'd bring him on to maybe shore up the defence from set pieces, but they weren't threatening from. Set pieces, they were more threatening from the counter attack, which obviously they eventually scored on. And I think that it's just one of those situations that you see from us maybe once too often. We refuse to make different substitutions. So we've got players on the bench who can offer something different than we've definitely seen this season, but we, for some reason, we just don't really use them.
I think, joking aside, I think Wyke is a decent player to have in the squad because he is a different option from McNulty and Grigg, who are a lot more similar. But I have heard that Keith Hill's trying to play out from the back at Bolton, so he wouldn't be the right choice at all, I don't think, for this game.
That's perfect if you need to press and harry, really. You don't.
McNulty.
Yeah, I think McNulty or Grigg,
both.
Maguire, those kind of players would be better than Wyke and far more suitable to the game. In terms of a statement result and things like that, I think the goal difference thing that's been talked about a bit is a fallacy. Because if you actually look into it, goal difference is rarely crucial when it comes down to the end of the season. I think
Actually, ironically, I think Bolton are actually one of the few teams who've been affected by it on the final day of the season. I think they were relegated on goal difference from the Premier League. And I think a couple of decades... Oh, hang on, it was, of course, the famous Aguero goal for the City in 2011, 2012.
And last year, was it? Oh, no, it was a point. Sorry.
Yeah, it was a point.
Yeah, sometimes it comes down to a point, but I don't think it's that important. Don't get me wrong, I'd love us to smash them 5-6-0, and I mean, Rotherham managed it. They beat them 6-1, even with Daryl Murphy in the Bolton team.
So, what do you expect the starting lineup to look like?
Anyone?
For me, I think starting, you're gonna have to have McNulty starting 100%. I thought he started the game really well on Tuesday against.
Would you not be tempted to put Grigg in, knowing that it's a bit of it's a new look defence for Bolton, and you know this could be the perfect opportunity for him to finally like properly get off the mark.
Yeah, I wouldn't be averse to it, but I think like I think McNulty started the game well against Rotherham. I think he has to be rewarded with another start against Bolton, a defence who, if I was him, I'd think, yeah, you know, I can get a goal against these. But equally, you're right, Grigg needs minutes, he needs goals. He needs the chance to prove himself, either or maybe we could even try and get them both in there somewhere. I don't know, but I think obviously McGeady's going to play. McGeek, as we said earlier, probably won't play. I don't know whether we need to play Ledbetter. I'd be happy with Power playing, to be honest. I think a sitting centre mid against a team we're expected to beat comfortably, maybe slightly redundant if we play McGeek or Ledbetter. So I'd be happy with Dobson and Power. And then I think the same at the back. Although if Conor McGoughlin can play better, that would be great.
I'd be very surprised if 09 isn't moved back to right back. Yeah. I think it showed on Tuesday night the fact that his best two opportunities of the evening came when he was at right back and rather than in the middle of the park. And I know that a lot of people think that. He's not a right back. I actually think he is better at right back than he is in the midfield. Don't get me wrong, he's got loads of energy, but he's just not clinical enough, and for me, doesn't read the game well enough to sit in that middle of the park. Dobson, on the other hand, I can't praise that enough for the first sort of 35 minutes. He went off the boil. I think everyone went off the boil, to be honest with you. But I'd love to see Power and Dobson in the midfield just to see what that sort of serves up for us.
Are we expecting much from Bolton? I mean, Jim, you mentioned before we started this that they've got some.
Yeah, they've got a couple of decent players. That Velinden scored a good goal. Ironically, I think it was the first goal in that game. They ended up losing 6-1, but it was a very good goal. He's pretty quick. He's going to cause problems to slow fullbacks. So it's a good job we don't have any of them. Conor McLaughlin. But other than that, Jake Wright's a good centre back. I think they've got Daryl Murphy's injured. And Liam Bricker obviously is clearly going to play like he did at St James's Park all those years ago for the second time in his career. So we've got that to look forward to, although hopefully Max Power might have something to say about that with a bit of luck.
And who's going? Which one of you are going?
I think we're all going.
We're all going.
We're all
going.
Yeah. Yeah. Apart from me, who's at a wedding in Essex.
Oh, dear. Enjoy.
Do you have any particular fond memories? You been to Bolton before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Any particularly fond memories?
Craig Gardner's free kick. FA Cup third round, first leg, to bring it back from 2-0. I think it was either 1-0 down to 1-0 or 2-0 down to 2-0. He absolutely rifled it in the top corner, and it was amazing.
I haven't actually been to a game there, but I used to work about 200, 300 yards away from the ground.
You lucky boy.
Yeah, and that was for a job that I absolutely despised.
Okay.
So I used to walk through the car park of the ground to and from work, usually through high winds. So I've got a lot of very negative connotations about that ground, so I've always vowed to return one day and have some sort of positive experience there. So please don't mess up, lads. I need my redemption.
Well, John Stead once told me to fuck off there when I was 16 when I was 16 years old.
What did you do?
Is it not podcast worthy? Or
I said to his I don't know, I was a stupid, you know, bratty 16-year-old who said he wasn't playing in this game. We got beat 2-0 and he wasn't playing in this game. And for some reason, someone behind me said, why weren't you playing today, John? And and he said, oh, I don't know. And me, for some reason, came out with, oh, well, you wouldn't have made a difference anyway. He told me to politely do one.
You
so
might have had that coming to me, right?
You're 100% right in what you said.
I know.
Yeah, you weren't wrong.
He actually said something very similar to me in Tiger Tiger in Newcastle, so maybe it's... It's becoming a bit of a catchphrase.
Actually, one quick John Stead anecdote as well. My brother said he once met him out on a night out.
Is this podcast worthy?
Yes.
We're not going to get sued, are we?
In a bar in New York, maybe even Tiger Tiger. And John Stead's mate said to my brother, do you not know who that is? My brother was like, yes, it's John Stead. And he was like, do you want a photo? And it was like, nah.
You're alright.
Well, from John Stead trying to get photos with people to Sunderland being the richest club in England. No, second richest club in England. So all the chatter on Wearside during the week, it all got very excited when a company named FPP Sunderland Limited was listed on company houses with the people Glenn Robert Furman, John Phelan, and Robert Plater. I assume they're the Dell vehicle.
Is this where we parachute Weatherspoon in, is it? Or are we going to we have to talk about that? Well.
No. finance free. But since we are going to be the second richest club in the UK, what's the first thing you want us to buy? And I'll start with Jim.
First thing I want us to buy would be a right back, please, in January. Because Conor McLaughlin's not very good. Please.
Okay. Right. Do you remember those plastic plants that we used to move around the office to the tune of £1,000 a month? I'd immediately reinstate them.
Yeah. That was better.
I just think making the ground. I know they've tried, but I think making the ground just a bit more friendly. I think I know that there was a bit in the Echo, I think earlier on today, talking about what they did with a baseball team in Miami, or not necessarily them, because I think they only had a 7% share in it or something like that. But what that baseball team did, and they essentially made it a bit more of a fan friendly place, so reduced the ticket prices. Although I must say that Sunderland isn't necessarily overpriced, but reduced the price of beer. And I think if they are wanting to. I know Stuart Donald said when he first took over, he wants to create this place where fans come to the ground before the match rather than the town. And I think if they are wanting to do that, I think they just need to look at the price difference. I mean, you can go into any sort of establishment in town and get a very reasonable pint. Whereas when you come to the ground, you're paying over £4 for a bottle. Well.
£4 £4 for a chicken burger, I think it is, in the ground.
It's been there for about 3 weeks as well. So I think just sort of. User experience more than anything else. Yeah,
free booze and food.
Okay, that's a very sensible answer compared to my North Sea cannon that I've got. Essentially, set up a cannon on the banks of on Roker Beach, where whenever a manager gets sacked or a player that's out of contract and won't leave, we fire over to Scandinavia or one of those oil rigs.
Yeah, Johnny White. Take the oil rig out.
Or bearing, or if not that, a monorail. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes!
Okay, right, predictions.
I think Sunderland will win 4-0.
I don't think we're going to score as many goals as that, but I do think we're going to get our first clean sheet of the season because Bolton are struggling for goals. I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah, law of averages says we're due a clean sheet, we'll get one, we'll win 3-0.
I'm sticking to our tried and tested formula of 3-1. That's pretty much it for us. There'll be a reaction show after the Bolton game with Rory, Matthew and possibly Gareth. And on Monday, the regular show, Gareth and Stephen will be back. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.